بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last night after completing with Surah Al-Kahf, we had commenced with Surah Maryam. And just one incident which remains from the 16th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and specifically his meeting that takes place with his father. Why is this so significant for you and I? We find throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are taught that this ummah follows in the footsteps of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded that say to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, my Rabb has guided me to the straight path. And what is that straight path? دِينًا قِيَمًا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. It is that deen which is upright, which is balanced, which follows the creed and the way of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So here, great lessons that we can take from this particular incident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through this difficult situation that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam finds himself in. He is perhaps just out of his teens, still a young man, and he is guided to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then he identifies that leave alone within his community or amongst his nation, but in his very own home, there are those who have not yet accepted this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he realizes that his father is upon shirk, he is an idol worshipper. And the lesson that we take from this, what does Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam do? He is not prepared to just sit back and allow his father to continue making shirk, associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather he teaches us the lesson of true love. If a person has genuine love, genuine compassion and care for his family members, then he will not be happy to sit back and allow them to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night also we had discussed sometimes within a home, one parent or one spouse is upon deen, salah is intact, there's Quran tilawat, whatever else it may be, different types of a'mal, but the other spouse is away from deen, or the children are not practicing. So this should not just be something that we sit back and allow to continue, but there should be a genuine concern within the heart that these are my beloved family members, I don't want any harm for them. Just as in this dunya, I don't want any harm to come to them. In the same way, I cannot just sit back and allow them to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first lesson, that when he identifies within his family, even though it is someone senior to him, here it is his father who is deserving of all of his respect, but he is not prepared to sit back. He rather approaches his father and he tries to explain to him that you should come onto the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the first aspect. And then secondly, perhaps the more important lesson that we can take from here is the manner and the method in which he addresses his father. Now we can imagine this is a future Nabi, and this is not something which there is difference of opinion in, but now he believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the strongest tenet of faith, of iman, and he sees his father is ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can imagine how this must have pained him, how it must have hurt him, but he does not adopt a harsh or a stern attitude. Rather, with love, with muhabbat, with understanding, he addresses his father. إِذْ قَالَ لِي أَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي. Look at how he addresses him. Oh, my beloved father. In other words, understand that I have love for you. And then he tries to reason with him logically. لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Oh, my beloved father, why are you worshipping something which cannot hear, which cannot see, which cannot give you any benefit? I want what is best for you. Ya abati, inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tik, fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiya. Oh my father, I have been given some knowledge which you have not been given. So why don't you follow me in this path? I will guide you to the straight path, to that which will be beneficial for you. Ya abati la ta'bud ash-shaytan, inna ash-shaytana kana lir-rahmani 'asiya. Oh my father, do not follow the footsteps, do not worship shaytan, because shaytan was disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here he doesn't use the name or the word Allah. He says shaytan was disobedient to Rahman. In other words, why are you going to follow that person or that being who is disobedient, where you can follow Ar-Rahman, that being who will shower mercy upon you? There is only going to be benefit and goodness for you if you listen to me and if you follow what I am telling you to do. So in this way he addresses his father in a very respectful, very loving, very understanding way. But Allah had decreed that his father was not going to accept. So his father rebukes him. He says, how can we leave the deen and the creed of our forefathers? When Ibrahim alayhi salam realizes that there is some hostility or there is some apprehension on the part of his father, some reluctance to accept, then he steps back. What does he say to him? قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ O my father, I will greet you with the greeting of peace. I will not wage war with you. I will not have any enmity for you. And more than that, سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي I will ask my Rabb, I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Of course, later on, Allah then informs Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam that your father, iman has not been decreed for him. So you cannot seek forgiveness for him. But at this point in time, he did not yet know what was the outcome of his father. So he says, I will greet you with the greeting of peace and I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. So again, a great lesson for us. Many a times when a person comes onto deen, he's got some sort of concern and worry for his family members. So he tells them one time, a second time, a third time, and he sees they are reluctant or they are not yet ready to accept and to come onto his level. So we should never ever adopt a stern or a harsh attitude and force our opinion down other people's throats. Many a times this becomes counterproductive. We want the person to come onto deen, we want the person to rectify themselves, but sometimes because of our pushy attitude or because of our severity and harshness towards the person, it causes them to move further and further away. So Ibrahim alayhi salam teaches us here that he does his duty. This is what we are obligated to do. When we see something that is wrong, we speak out against it or we try and correct the person. But when we sense any reluctance on their part, then we step back. Rather, we should take time out to make dua. How many a times we'll complain that this person doesn't want to change? Look at his bad behavior, his bad habits. And how many a times I've explained to him and I've tried to show him, but he doesn't want to come to the masjid, whatever it may be. But how many times did we stop and take time out to make dua for the person? This is what will benefit the person. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives hidayat and guidance. And then, what does Ibrahim alayhi salam say? وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي Last night, we spoke about the Ashabul Kahf. And when did Allah's mercy and help come to them? When they made that decision to move away from the environment that was not conducive. So when they took that first step, this became the means of Allah's mercy coming down. In the same way, the words that were used there were إِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ Allah says, when you disassociated, when you moved away from them, that is when Allah's mercy came. Ibrahim alayhi salam uses the same words here. He says to his father, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ I will move away from you, I will disassociate from you, and I will وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي I will go alone and I will worship my Rabb. عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَعْتَزَلَهُمْ When he does this, again, when he makes that effort, he takes the first step to change the environment around him, what does Allah do? وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ Now Allah's mercy comes down. Allah says, we then blessed him with a son and a grandson, and eventually the entire life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we have heard the incidents and what position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with. But again, this aspect is being reinforced that when a person has some challenges around him, the environment is not conducive, then he has to take that first step and he has to try and change the environment or move away from that environment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and help will come. So this was in the 16th juz, and then we commence with Suratul Anbiya, which is in the beginning of the 17th juz in tonight's Taraweeh. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laments the condition of insan. Allah says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ The time for hisab kitab, for accountability has come close. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ But what is the condition of insan, of man? They are in a heedless state, in a state of complete negligence. They are not concerned, they are not worried about what is awaiting them. مَا يَأْتِيهِم مِّن ذِكْرٍ مِّن رَبِّهِم مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ Allah says, no reminder comes to them from their Rabb, except that they listen to it, but they continue immersing themselves in their dunya. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts remain negligent. They don't take lesson, or they don't take heed from these reminders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. Of course, this was, or rather what is referred to in these verses, were in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, each time the Quraysh would oppose him, Allah would send down new verses, reminding them of what happened to the nations of the past. So this is the reminder that Allah is speaking about. For you and I, of course, wahi is complete, Quran is complete, but how many reminders doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us on a daily basis sometimes? Every day we are seeing some janazah notice, some funeral notice, somebody has passed away, sometimes 30 years, 40 years of age. Parents are burying their children, their grandchildren at times. How many accidents we hear of a person was driving past somewhere, a stray bullet hits him, he loses his life. How many incidents like this that we read about, we hear about, but how much of lesson do we take from it? Or is it that we just continue and we are not bothered about what's happening, what's going to come ahead? It could be tomorrow, my name is written, I will leave this world. There's no guarantee. A person may think I'm in the best of health, everything is going smoothly for me, I have another 10, 15, 20 years. There is no guarantee. How many times we find youngsters who are leaving this world, who are passing away? So this is what Allah is reminding us, iqtaraba. That hisab, kitab, accountability is very close. It is much closer than you think. So you should not be in this condition of ghaflat, of heedlessness. Rather, your mind should be fixed on your final destination. And then the Quraysh took it one step further. So Allah says, when they were not prepared to accept and to take the guidance from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, instead of just ignoring it, now they began to make accusations against him. Bal qalu adghathu ahlam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would come to them, remind them, Qiyamah is coming. What would they say? That this person perhaps has seen something in a dream, and he's relating his dreams to us. Bal iftarahu. Or maybe he has fabricated all of this. Bal huwa sha'ir. He must be a poet, and he's very skilled in poetry. So that is what this is that he's giving to us. It can't be divine. It can't be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was their reaction. And then they take it even one step further, where they then said to one another, let's see, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not stopping with his mission. He continues to advise us, to admonish us. So, نَتَرَبَّصُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. We will just wait for death to come to him. When he passes away, he leaves this world, we won't have to bother, we won't have to listen to his stories again. So Allah says, O Nabi of Allah, don't let this bother you. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدُ. We never created immortality for anyone before you. So if you are going to leave this world, you are going to have to drink from the cup of death. فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Do they think they are going to live forever? What guarantee do they have that they are going to outlive you? They may leave this world before you. Either way, they will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single person will have to leave this world. Moat is going to take place. How many times we find a person goes home, he says to his wife, his children, that you know what, when I pass away, before he can even give them his wasiyat, they say, don't speak about it. As though if we don't speak about it, death is not going to come. This is a reality, it's going to happen to each and every one of us. How much of preparation have we made? Myself first, Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. The conditions will come and go. Things will change in this world. Sometimes it will be adversity, sometimes prosperity, sometimes a person is going through hardship, sometimes there's ease. Allah says, all of this is fitnatan. This is a test for you. But keep your eye on the end result, or your end, your final abode. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. You are going to be returned to us. This is the end. You are going to have to come back to us. You are going to stand in front of us. And what is going to happen on that day? Allah then says, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, the scales of justice will be laid down. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No person will be oppressed in the least bit. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. Any action that a person had done in this world, whether it is good, whether it is evil, even if it is to the extent of a mustard seed, أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. Allah says, we will bring that action forward. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And then Allah says, leave us to do your bookkeeping. In this world, a person can get the best bookkeeper, the best accountant, still he can make some mistake. Now a person realizes, SARS is after me. Because the accountant made some mistake, Allah says, kafa bina hasibin. Leave us to do the accounting, to do the bookkeeping. Our angels are writing constantly. Whatever a person does, every thought that goes through his mind, every statement he makes, every action he does, our angels are recording it. And we will bring this forth on the day of Qiyamah. This verse, we have heard many times. Generally in the Bukhari Sharif Jalsas, we will hear this verse being recited, which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah had mentioned right at the end of his kitab about the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. So here, ulama have explained that how will this weighing of a'mal take place on the day of Qiyamah. So there are different views, but the more common views, one is that some mufassirin have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give our a'mal a form. So the salah, zakat, all of these a'mal are intangible. We can't see them, we can't feel them in dunya. But Allah will give them a form, a shape, and these actions will then be placed on the scale, and this will be weighed. And other mufassirin are of the opinion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the person himself on the scale. And the basis for this, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, that you have ar-rajulus sameen, a person in dunya who was overweight, who was obese. He weighed a great amount in this world. But لا يزن عند الله جناح بعوضة. When he is placed on the scale in front of Allah, he will not weigh even to the extent of the wing of a mosquito. In other words, he doesn't have any good deeds to add to his scale. So this is a reality. Hisab kitab is a reality. The weighing of a'mal on the day of Qiyamah is a reality. Allah has given us, as long as we mentioned last year also, as long as we are breathing, As long as we are living, we can speak, we can walk, we can hear, we can do a'mal, Allah has still given us a chance. It is never too late. We have now come to the second half of the month of Ramadan. It seems as just yesterday, it was the month of Rajab, then Sha'ban, then we were saying Ramadan is going to come. Now Ramadan is about to end. We are already in the second half. How much have we done? Now is the time to put our foot on the pedal. Whatever we have done, let us try and increase it. Even if 10% every day. If I've been reading one juz, now read one juz and 2 pages, 3 pages. So that when the last 10 nights come, the ball is rolling already, and we don't waste any precious time in the month of Ramadan. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.